Our considerations today will be drawn out of Psalms 18, and I've entitled these considerations, "The Lord Liveth," from the verse there at 18:2. The Lord liveth. How do we know the Lord liveth? The Lord being Jehovah? Perhaps we should consider David's example. Here we have the words of a song spoken by David to the Lord, quote, "in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies." That's the title of this psalm. And that refers us to, what is it? It's 2 Samuel. Let me scroll up here and give you the quote here. 2 Samuel chapter 22, the entire chapter. This psalm here is a verbatim quote of the same psalm in Samuel 22. So we have a historical point of reference here. We can look forward a chapter or two in 2 Samuel. We can look another chapter or two after this and see exactly what point in David's life that this words of the song spoken by David, what day this was when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies. Okay, so in regards to him coming into the experience of knowing that the Lord liveth, this is almost a confession of everything that the Lord has done for him all along the way. And it's not like he's just beginning to realize this. He's felt these things, about his God throughout his long ordeal. All right? But feeling and trusting is different from actually seeing and knowing and having experienced now the tangible results. There is no doubt that there were days along during this long ordeal that David wondered if he would ever see this. Which, my mind starts thinking that, quote, "faith is the evidence of things unseen." He hadn't seen these things, and so faith continued to drive him in the hope of seeing this day come at some point, right? But when the day finally comes, what we felt along the way has to be a whole different thing. It's a day of unimaginable rejoicing and remembrance and deep introspection, as described in this Psalm 18. And so if your day has not yet come, I hope that today you can at least share in David's day, and his expression of it here, his beautiful expression of it here today, until your day comes. How do we know that the Lord Jehovah liveth? And maybe in this we have something in common with David. Perhaps, like David, it is because by standing firm for his cause, we have had face to face many of his enemies. Perhaps, like David, it is because many a time we have had to depend on him when there was no one else to depend on, no other way to get ourselves out of this situation today. We were severely outnumbered. We were outmaneuvered. We were outflanked. Perhaps like David, we've come to know because early on, we too were called out, given promises, given signs, given uncommon interest and courage and fortitude. Perhaps like David, it is because of our calling and those promises, we have been exiled, we've been shot at, we've been chased, we've slept in caves and on rocks. We've spent many a night alone at a campfire when everyone else was sleeping, sorting through all these how comes and why nots and where nexts. Perhaps like David, it is because of all those times we prayed, thinking God was too far away amongst all the stars out there to be listening. Then there are those moments and days when we realize by what miraculous thing had just happened that he has been listening and out in front of us all along. How do we know? Jehovah liveth? Well, through it all, it comes to a point one glorious day when the answer becomes, how on earth did we ever not know? We live in a day and age where we aren't anywhere near as sure as David whether the Jehovah liveth. Granted, none of us are the anointed king over a fledgling Israel that has been brought into a promised land. None of us are the seed of Jesse through whom Messiah promised to Abraham was to come. We do not have these pesky Philistines and Amorites and Moabites and Egyptians and such anymore coming at us from every direction persistently. We don't have the four sons born of the giant in Gath seeking to avenge the giant's blood. Knowing in many respects, we have remained soft and boy-like, tending to our family's smaller flocks. An occasional bear or lion, nothing that we can't handle ourselves with a pocket knife or rounded stones in a slingshot. And do we wonder why it is we don't know this Jehovah to the extent that David has come to know him? Well, I think that the answer is obvious. We don't put ourselves into any situations where we could get to know him to such an extent. I would like to explain today a problem that I see in the church today with pre-tribulation rapture. If you're unfamiliar with it, it's where the church is said to be raptured or taken into, you know, under the Lord's wings, taken up to the angels there in the clouds of glory, where the church is raptured before the prophecies of the great tribulation are fulfilled. Now, I don't want you to think that, I'm not saying that this may not happen. I'm just pointing to the effect that it seems to have had upon us, where it takes away many of our biggest enemies. Our enemies become signs of impending rapture and not signs that we better get to fighting. The bigger the enemy, the sooner we think the rapture can be expected. We miss out on getting to know Jehovah in the way that David and many others did, because we have locked ourselves into a mode of waiting eagerly still next to the ticket counter on standby for the first flight out. And again, I don't want to debate eschatology here with you. Pre-tribulation rapture might very well be true. I would certainly welcome it if it were to come true. I have to have myself prepared and ready for this at any time. I understand that. I'm just saying that I think that it has had a dangerous sedative effect on this generation. Think of it this way. Not that pre-tribulation is true or false or there's better ways of explaining it. Think of it this way. What if the rapture were not to come for another 425 years? Where will our descendants be if we do not continue to advance the battle forward? Where will those generations be if our generation cannot say to them for certain that Jehovah liveth, because we never put the statement to the embattled living test. Certainly we do have our enemies surrounding us today. Strong enemies. Some enemies we've had around us for a long, long time. They just keep coming back. And I believe that there are some enemies just around the bend here that we have never faced before. Enemies so scary, it is no wonder we'd rather pray for rapture to hurry up and come. I would like to talk about some of these upcoming enemies here today in a Psalms 18 context. And we'll shortly get to that. But the object today is not to scare ourselves back into our tiny foxholes and hide. It is by David's example to us here that I want to dig deep, dig wide, and try to find again that calling, that purpose, that courage, and to soon thereafter, after finding these things, for us to step out of our foxholes into the unknown and start experiencing the presence and power of God as we valiantly face each of these enemies. So we'll look to Psalm 18 today to help us to do that.